Stand up and praise the Lord and thank Him. If there's anything, if He's ever done anything good for you, just go ahead and praise Him. Come on, let's go ahead and praise Him. Give an offering of praise, sacrifice of praise. Oh God, we thank You. Glory to God, we give You praise for what You're doing in our land this morning, what You're doing in Thunder Bay in our lives today. Thank You for all the blessings. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You. If He's ever been to anything, any healing in your life, if he's done any deliverance in your life, oh, if He's ever blessed you, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Thank You, Lord. You know, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul. That means that David, by the Holy Spirit, was talking to his soul. It means, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to his soul. What is your soul? Your soul is your emotions. Your soul is how you feel right now. You might not feel like it. Ephesians, I think it's, what is it? No, it's Hebrews. It says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise means you don't want to do it. But you have to tell your body to do things it doesn't want to do. How many of you go to work out sometime? You ever work out? You tell your body, hey, you got to work out, or you want to eat more, you tell your body no. So you have to tell yourself, you know, you have your body and then you have your soul. So you have to tell your soul to praise God. Now, it doesn't like it, you have to do it because God says it's good for you. So what happens when you praise God, something happens to you, not only your soul, but your whole body. And, you know, it's amazing. Scientists have discovered your tongue is tied to your brain. Your brain is tied to your emotions. You can praise yourself and you're going crazy, happy, crazy. So the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. That's everything about you. Bless His holy name. Then He goes on to enumerate for us the kind of things that He's done for us. He saved us. He's healed us. He saved us from destruction, so on and so forth. If you can't remember what He's done for you, so you can just do that as well. So we're going to do it one more time. Now, I want you to practice this regularly. Psalm 100 says, we come into His presence with thanksgiving. And then we also make a joyful noise. Make a joyoful noise unto the Lord. I think it's Psalm 100. We come into His praise with thanksgiving. So you don't have to have any kind of a rhythm or style. Okay? You just go ahead and praise Him. Lift your voices and thank Him. And at the tone of 1, 2, 3, we're going to do this for about 30 minutes. We'll do it for about maybe 15 seconds. How about that? What about 10 seconds? Can we do 10 seconds? Let's do it 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we praise You. Oh, we give You thanks, Lord. You are so awesome, so good, so merciful and kind. We give You glory and praise. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Amen, amen. Okay, sit down. What's wrong with the rest of you guys sitting down there? Go ahead, sit down. Some of you guys sitting down. This is the time to practice. Come on now. All right. Let's go to our Bibles. Now, some of you guys think this is silly, but this is absolutely important to do this because you need to know how to do this. Amen? Because you might not want to do it, especially if you're mad at me as well, because I'm telling you to do this. And that's doubly bad. Glory to God. Well, you're not going to just sit here and listen to me. I'm going to get you to participate. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, go to your Bibles. We're going to go to, did I give you the stuff there, Mr. Luke? Okay. Go to Luke, no, go to Matthew. Luke is in the back. Matthew, go to chapter 10. And 22, and also go to Galatians 6:9. We're going to talk about patient to the end. Everybody say patient to the end. This is a faith study, and our topic there is on the faith studies and prayer and learning how to handle life. It says patient to the end. Some people are not patient to the end. You know, patient means to suffer long. not to have a long face, but to suffer long. And you shall be hated of all men. Matthew 10:22, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. You know, the word saved is a word that is an all-inclusive word. That means, you know, salvation. It means to be delivered. It means to be healed. Sometimes the word healed or the word saved in the New Testament also means healed. So he that endures to the end, if you're suffering maybe physical something going on in your life, but if you're patient, you'll come to the end where you're going to make it. If you have a problem, say for instance, you have to endure to the end. Don't just give up halfway. Some people are good starters. And you want to be a good starter and a finisher. So that he that endures to the end. So that word saved, don't just think about it as being born again, because being born again is one aspect of our salvation. That is when we get saved, right? Jesus comes into our lives and we're born again. We have salvation in our hearts. If we were to expire, we would be in the presence of God. If your body would just give up right now, you'd be in the presence of God. That's what the Bible says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. So when you pass away, you come into the presence of God. And that's why Paul says in the book of Philippians, he says, to be with God, to depart from my body, to be with God, to depart, would be far better. He told that. So it's better actually to die. And I know people personally who actually have physically died and went to heaven. I know people who didn't die and go to heaven. They just, God took them to heaven. For one thing, one of our teachers, Brother Hagin, as well as Keith Moore. You know, Keith Moore, he's a pilot and of course travels with his own plane, and he travels all over the world. And He said once he was trying to get his dad to come with him on the plane to fly and take a ride. And his dad had a heart problem before, and he was afraid. He'd get too nervous and, you know, different things. So he actually coaxed his dad for a number of years. And, you know, being a faith person, he believed for himself, of course, nothing's going to happen. But, you know, the next guy, he might not believe like you. But anyway, he invited his dad on the plane ride, and his dad finally came one day and said, okay, I'm coming, I'm going to get on. So he got on the plane, and up in the air, he died. And he had a heart attack. for a long time, he felt bad because, you know, his dad passed away because of a heart attack. Being a minister, he felt that responsibility. But he said one day he's feeling so bad, and then the Lord took him to heaven. The Lord brought him to heaven, and he was in the presence of Almighty God in heaven, and he saw his dad there in heaven because he was so heartbroken. See, God wanted to help Brother Keith, because to carry on his work. It's hard to carry on the ministry if you're heartbroken. How many people know that? If you're heavy-hearted, it's hard to serve someone else. Anybody ever notice that? If you have burdens, you got financial burdens, it's hard to concentrate helping somebody if you're hurting. And so anyway, God helped him, and he saw his dad in heaven, and the Lord said to him, or at least his dad says, you know, Keith, no, please don't feel bad about this, you know. I like it here. If I had a chance, I wouldn't go back. See, this is the point I'm trying to get at. This is, Paul said it's far better. I want you to know to die is far better. But don't kill yourself. I mean, it's far better. Let God take you when the time is. I believe that we should all believe for long life. How many is believing with me? Praise God. Don't give up halfway. The Bible said he that endures to the end. Amen. You have to endure hardships and troubled times. If you live in this world, you're going to have troubled times. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have, different situations. And you might be even the trouble. The time. So anyway, He that endures, everybody say, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Here's another scripture. The scripture says here, Galatians 6, 9, and let us not be weary. That's when you get tired out. You lose the battle. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Because there's times in our lives as born-again believers, as children of God, that we can get tired out. He says that, for in due season, you know, due season is always later than you want it. Huh? Due season. Everybody say due season. So it says, due season we shall reap. The word shall is you know, it's going to happen. Shall. Shall is always future tense. You know, you shall reap. What does it say? If we faint not. Faint not. That means when you faint, you've given up. Maybe you've thrown the towel and quit whatever you're doing. But it takes effort. It takes time for different things to happen. And how many people understand if you believe in God for something, not everybody's going to cooperate with you all the time. Especially if you've got a project. If you're doing something. It's not always easy doing something that's difficult and challenging in life. Because there'll be extraneous circumstances around you trying to get at or impede you or stop you from going on. So we also, not only the circumstances of life, but also we have an opponent. 1 Peter 5, 8 says that we have an opponent or an adversary. He's called the devil. You ever meet the devil? He said, the Bible says that he will hinder you. He'll send some of his pals along to try to stop you. You ever felt bad with the devil trying to get a hold of your life? Praise God. No. Some of us, you know, we've had challenges with the devil. In fact, we used to be pals with him. I think all of you used to be his pal. Amen. The Bible says we used to belong to his family. Do you remember the story about the big service in Texas where there was a storm coming? There's a guy broke in the back door. He looked real wild-eyed. And he said, I'm the devil. And everybody went, and just jumped back. He rolls up to the front, comes up to the pastor, points at the pastor, and everybody took off. Points at the pastor, says, aren't you afraid of me? He said, no. I'm married to your sister. Well, that's the end of the story right there. I want to just propose to you tonight, or just tonight. It's already night. It seems like nighttime here. But with a little sweetness in the air, it's Christmas time. Look at all the trees they got back there. Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Who did that? Who's responsible for those trees? Nobody wants to say anything. Okay. Nobody wants to say anything for the decor. So, okay. I want to propose to you that sometimes you just have to wait a little bit longer. Sometimes you have to wait for a long time. That's what I want to tell you, talk to you today. Sometimes you'll have to wait a little bit longer. Or sometimes you have to wait a very long time. Look at your neighbor and tell him, keep waiting.
Keep waiting.
Okay. So the Bible says that we receive every promise of God by faith. It says over here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, you see one phrase there, but I'll read the whole verse. He says, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. By faith. He's talking about the Israelites. God's people overthrew kingdoms by faith. And ruled with justice, received what God had promised them by faith. Shut the mouths of lions. That we can stop, according to this verse of scripture, we can stop being devoured in life by our faith. A lion is a ferocious animal, a meat eater. The Bible says that Daniel even had a faith to believe. He had enough faith to stand for God to right to the end. And then he was thrown in the den, and God gave him extra faith. You know, how many people know that God, you walk with God, but when it comes to the end of your faith, God will add to you his grace so that you can stand even stronger. Amen. Come on now, people. You can come to a level where you can't believe anymore. You don't have any more faith, but God will come and add on to it because Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. And he knows that we can't overcome on our own. I found that any project I do, and God told me in 1985 that if anything I do, I will succeed in it. God gave me a promise. I was on my bed, and he spoke to me out of Psalm chapter 1. And I was feeling very defeated in life as a Christian. I was born again. I was out of fellowship with God. I was not doing drugs or drinking or running around chasing women and sleeping around and stuff like that. I was just out of fellowship with God. I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't going to church. And I was doing all those fundamental things that keep a Christian strong. But I was very defeated in life. I was in my last year of my BA at the university. I remember being broke around just before in November, and my car was falling apart. I didn't seem to have a friend in the world. I was scared to go back to my old life. I didn't want to go back there. I was lost. I didn't feel like I fit in the church. Anybody ever felt like you didn't fit in the church? Well, I didn't. I felt there's no place for me. Church is for good people, not some like me. So I was kind of like being there, and I was asking the Lord and talking to the God, in my heart, just laying there. And the Lord spoke to me just real strong. He asked me if I loved him. I said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, you love my word? I said, I love your word. Yes, I do love your word. He said, you see that Bible over there? Go get that Bible and read it. Go to Psalm chapter 1 and read Psalm chapter 1. When I got to the third verse, it says in there that I'd be successful in everything I do. Then he took me to the book of Deuteronomy. In verse 28, verse 6, 8, 12, he says that everything I touch will be successful. The Lord began to speak to me. And he talked to me about King Uzziah, that everything the young King Uzziah did, he said everything he did because he served God and loved God, that everything he decided to do was successful. Then he began to give me scripture after scripture how the Lord would do that. And I felt that he would, I felt that everything I would do would be successful. But just because God spoke to me didn't mean that it was easy. I had to wait, and I had to do some things. How many people know just because you got a word from the Lord doesn't mean it's going to take overnight? It means you're automatically going to feel emotionally strong. It's going to take some time. It takes time to grow. How many people know it takes time to grow spiritually? Just because you read 7 books, went to the seminar, went to a camp meeting every year for 5 years doesn't mean you're automatically grown. Okay, it takes time to grow spiritually. You have to conduct yourself in a way that you are going to practice something. Just like a skill. So it takes some skill to do it over and over and over again. And sometimes we fool ourselves. The Bible says he that looks in the Word of God and he doesn't meditate on it, he'll deceive himself. You'll deceive yourself because you think you know you have faith. You think you have faith. You think you have the strength. But you don't. Because coming to church every week and just sitting here and listening to me or listening to whoever is preaching doesn't mean you're going to get faith right away. You have the capacity to have it, to listen to the word. And it's what happens you after you leave here is important. And things come to your life. You find out that, hey, You're not as strong as you thought you were emotionally, mentally speaking, but you're strong spiritually. So there's a distinction there. So what happens is our mind stops our spirit from functioning the way it should be, because we live in the mind most of our time. Our mind stops us from doing what we're supposed to do. Our spirits, that's why Brother Hagin taught us, our spirits must be stronger than our mind. Our spirits must be stronger than our physical being. We must ascend. The throne of life needs to be in our lives. Our spirit should be sitting on the throne, not the flesh. Some people, the flesh is stronger than their spirit, because they just do whatever they want to do, live the way they want to live. So we need to be stronger spiritually. Thank God for the strength. So it says in Hebrews 11:33 that those people got every promise of God by faith. We receive everything by faith. We do everything. We get born again by faith. Answers to prayer by faith. We receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Ghost baptism by faith. We heal the sick by faith. We do everything by faith. We love people by faith. And it's not always easy loving the unlovable. If everybody was lovable, like me, or you, it'd be easy. Be easy world, right? So, Bible also says that we need patience along to assist our faith. Because you might have faith for something, but become very impatient. And you don't endure. That word endure means to be able to suffer joyfully, but while waiting. He that endures, he that suffers joyfully, because he's expecting that changes are coming. They're going to happen. They're going to happen. You know, Bible faith and human faith are two different things. Bible faith, Bible hope is expecting the change. Any second is going to happen. But hope in the natural is a faint thing, something it might not. Just a faint hope. It might happen. But Bible hope is that it's going to happen. It's going to happen anytime soon. It might be tomorrow. It might be next week. It's going to happen. That's Bible faith. The Bible says that Abraham, our father of faith, our example, he had that kind of faith. He believed God in spite of what was going on in his life. He was able to have this expectancy that God was going to do something any moment, because he promised it. When God promised something in your life and you find a Bible promise, you hang on to it in spite of what is looking at you right now, in spite of what you feel, in spite of what the devil is saying to you in your ear. You got to take the Bible promise and look at it, meditate on it, not just get it in your mind, rehearse it in your mind, but get it in your heart. It becomes a reality in your heart. That's why the Bible says so much about meditating the Word of God, getting it into our spirit being. And by the way, the Teen Challenge boys, I really enjoyed the event last week. Congratulations to all you guys for a fine. That was a great testimony. Enjoyed the testimony. I really enjoyed that. I was just so relaxed. All the food was good. The whole evening was wonderful. How many of you guys went to that event? Support Teen Challenge. If you can just give money, give them money. But if not, shake their hands at least. Amen? Tell them you love them. Appreciate them. There's somebody's son out here. Amen? If it was your son, you'd be happy. Amen? So go ahead and support that. Maybe somebody in your family might need that someday. Or maybe yourself. Well, hope not, but thank God that we have a Teen Challenge in this city. And Brother Robbie, where are you? Congratulations. I think they raised almost 50,000 almost, right? Glory to God. That was the best one they ever had, $50,000. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. And we had the best one we had last year, too, for Spirit of Life. We only spent like 2 days on it. We spent, I think we got about 30 grand there that evening. That's not too bad. Praise God. Amen. Come on, give us a clap here. Spirit of Life. I tell you, people are watching this, the program, the Spirit of Life program, that are not Christians. They're not born again people. They're watching it. They like it. They think I'm nice. They say, that Roma guy is a nice guy. Glory to God. You guys know better. You know, in our society, patience is very devalued. In our society, patience is very devalued because everything is quick and fast. And we drive by the drive-through, and everybody is just honking their horn about Christmas time, you know, just, hey, I thought this was a drive-through. This is a quick thing, you know. So, and by the time you get there, you're like, you're just ready to tell somebody off. But we're so quick to fly off the handle and quit things and give up, and we quit on people. You know, God has a lot of patience. Amen. He's been patient with you for 35 years, maybe 45 years, some of you, to do what you said you were going to do. I see it all the time as a pastor. Oh, yeah, I'm coming. I'll see you there. They don't show up maybe for 7 years later. Huh? And remember how you used to be? I was told that by my pastor, Pastor Kevin Ashley, way back when he first started, he was one of our first pastors, married my wife and I. He said to me, I was like that, but I never remember that. It's funny you don't remember those things. And probably you feel the same way about yourself. I was never like that. Who does he think he is anyway? But he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to come. I'll be there. I'll be there at the prayer meeting. But, you know, God is very patient. And so in this world, we're very impatient. We're impatient with ourselves, with things happening. We want it to go fast. And so what we do when we become impatient, we carry out plans that God has given us on our own with our own strength. So we want to make the promise of God that we found in the Bible happen, so we go ahead and arrange it for ourselves. Yeah. Like buying a Honda. Where is he? He's children's church. We're going to erase this anyway. Let me tell you about him. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, we get impatient. You know, and so I'm trying to be more patient. I'm practicing it. What I do now, I try to wait for myself. I go outside and I wait for myself. You ought to try that sometime. Somebody said, what are you doing here? I'm waiting for myself. Sometimes, you know, we get impatient. And so what happens is that when we get impatient, we begin to run ahead of God. And I used to like what Brother Hagin used to say, I'd rather be two steps behind God than one step ahead. Yeah. One step ahead of God, you get yourself into a lot of financial troubles. Yeah. You get yourself into a lot of emotional problems because you get involved with the wrong people. And you make promises that you can't keep. So we don't want to be impatient, and then we spend all our time trying to undo things that we did because we were impatient. Maybe we purchased something. Maybe we promised somebody something because we can't fulfill it. So we want to learn how to be patient. Patience is a virtue the world devalues today. We are taught to get things quickly in our modern day. Everything is automated, mechanical, instant. So we live lives like that. So when we're believing God, we use Mark 11, believe that you receive when you pray, believe that you have them, and you will, you know, and then there's a time of praying and releasing your faith and the time of having. There's a time lapse involved. And so what do we do between the time lapse? And this is where people don't endure to the end. Believe that you receive when you pray. The moment you pray, you believe the promise that you found in the Bible. You say, thank God I got that promise. 2 days later, and then you pray the same thing again, which you're not supposed to. You're supposed to say, thank God that I prayed, I received that. Thank you, Lord. You know, when you pray for something, you receive it one time. You don't pray about it again and 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 say, God, thank you. That means when you do that kind of thing, it means you don't You don't understand faith. You don't understand how it works, the law of faith. The Bible says we receive one time. You don't pray about it one time. You ask one time and receive one time. Did you or did you not receive the promise of God? If you did, you'd still be locked in. Say, thank God. Every time you thought about it, say, thank God I got that. Somebody looks at you, thank God. Did you get that? Oh, yes, brother. Oh, yes, sister, I got it. Hallelujah. Well, you don't look right. You still look like you're sick. And the devil says to you, well, you must be lying about it. You're a liar. I said, I'm not a liar. Let me just take this Bible out, devil, and show you. And you read it to the devil. What's the matter with you? You can't read? And you read it to him. You say, here's what it says. I believe that I received when I prayed. I believe that I received it when I prayed. With the moment I prayed, I received the promise of God. Amen. He said, well, you must be lying about it. No, I didn't lie about it. I'm doing what it says right here. I prayed and I received. And then I'm just giving God praise. I'm just reminding God, Lord, I want to let you know I prayed about that. And I want to thank you. What I prayed about last Saturday, Lord, you remember that, right? He says, yes, I received that, and I thank you for it right now. That's all you do from then on. You just, if you ever think about it, the devil tells you that you didn't get it. You say, thank God, I got it. Yeah. You just have to say, I didn't lie about it. I'm saying what the Bible says. Yeah. I'm saying what the Word of God says. I believe I received. Yeah. You know? So we don't have to learn know everything about a jet plane to get on it. We just know it works. Right? Yeah. And same with the Bible. You don't have to understand everything about the Bible before it can work for you. In fact, it was working before you came here or before you came into the kingdom of God. The Bible was working before that without you knowing about it. So you believe. The Bible says, receive Jesus Christ. You'll get born again. And you say, well, how does that work? Tell me how it works first before I believe it. No, you receive it by faith. So every promise must be received by faith. Thank God that we can do that today. So what does being patient mean? It's one meaning of patience means enduring or endurance, joyful endurance. It means that you can stand right where you are, stay where you are, no matter what happens or what comes your way. And having patience means you will stand unwaveringly without weakening or moving ahead and just being strong and steady. Because sometimes, the devil try to move you away from the promise of God by getting you into your soul in your thinking that you didn't get it. Whatever promise you got. He'll pick at your emotions. He'll pick at your mind. He'll put things in your mind, give you pictures in your mind of what is that you didn't get it and how, it's going to turn out. It give you a bad picture in your mind, a dismal picture, a very weak picture, a failure. To be patient, it means to be able to abide under pressure without weakening. To be patient means to abide under pressure without being weakening. It means to be joyful, expecting God to do something. It means to be persistent, being able to persevere under trial. Anybody going through trials? We need to be persistent. Say, I got this, and in the name of Jesus, God will help you with your faith. Jesus will help you with your faith. It means the quality and state of not surrendering to circumstances. The quality or state of not surrendering to circumstances. Because the devil will make sure that he's going to put circumstances in your life to stop you from moving ahead. He don't want you to get the promise of God. Because when you get the promise of God, you're going to tell other people about it. That actually this works. It means the quality of not succumbing to under these trials. So, as I mentioned, what happens between believing that you receive and you shall have. It says, therefore, verily I say to you, Mark 11, 23, 26, for verily I say to you, that whosoever, how many whosoevers do we have in here anyway? Okay, that's all of us. Whosoever means you. Kim? Kim, is that your name? Kim, for today. Anyway, Brianna. It means Brianna, right? It means Miss Joanne, Lisa. It means whoever we are. You know, Pastor Dave, it means him. It means everybody, that he's a whosoever. So, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, mountain could be any trouble or trial you got, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. How many people know what you think about long enough eventually goes down here? Yeah. It's harder to get out when it's down here than up here. You can cast these out pretty quickly, but over here, it's going to take a little bit longer to get out. It takes root inside you. Shall not doubt in his heart. That's the core of man. As your spirit man, where it's born again. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. That's the, you know, faith. This is how faith works. Mark 11, 23 is how faith actually works. Believing in your heart, number one. Number two, believing in your own words. Believing in your own words. Faith is released by believing in the heart. And two, saying what you believe in your heart. That's how you got born again. You got born again. I believe in Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is raised from the dead. I believe I'm saved right now. That's how you got born again. And everything you receive afterwards, healing, Holy Ghost, promises of God, you do the same thing. It doesn't change. Why do we all of a sudden switch it around and think it works differently? Faith works in every realm the same way. You have to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, even though your body says something different, even though the people say different or the circumstances look differently than what the Bible says. You stick with the law of faith. You stick with the principle. The spiritual law here never changes. Amen. God never lies. It's not too late. If that's you, they say, well, you know what? I gave up. But you can pick yourself right back up, believe again, pick up that promise you had 24 years ago, and say, thank God I'm on the road again. Amen. It's like it never happened. And so this is the way it works. This is how faith works. This is the law of faith, the way it works. You believe. Believe that you receive. Now, it says here, now in verse 24, he's talking about prayer then. See, the prayer is not going to work unless you know the law of faith. See, you must know what the law of faith is before your prayer is going to work in verse 24. You have to know what the faith of God is. It says in here, therefore. That's why that verse is therefore, right? Yeah. Because of verse 23. I say to you that what things soever you desire when you pray, listen to this, believe that you receive them. When you're praying, the moment you're praying, you have to believe I receive those promises by faith. If you're not willing to do that, if you're going to cry after your prayers, oh, I didn't get it, then you didn't do faith. You don't know what faith is. So you have to believe, you have to have sufficient knowledge or scripture that you have what the Bible says you have. You have to go to the Bible and read the Bible promises. Well, I'm telling you how to receive Bible promises this morning. You have to go to the Bible and find a promise in the Bible that matches your case. Read the promise. Study it. Make it yours. Meditate on it before you start asking. That's why Brother Hagin used to say he would come up, we'd do a healing seminar. He'd teach on faith for a number of weeks or days or hours. Then people come up and ask for prayer. Then he lay hands on them. They all come up, want to receive healing, because he's the man of God. He lays hands on them. Then he says to them, did you receive? Did you receive your healing? He says, they say, well, I hope so. He said, go sit back down. He didn't receive. Come back again tomorrow. Goes to the next person and pray for healing. Did you receive that healing? Did you receive healing when I laid hands on you? They say, well, you know, I hope so. Well, go sit back down again. I'm just kidding. Go sit back down and Wigglesworth would kick somebody like that. Go sit down. And everybody's going, who, you know? But the guy got healed for getting a kick. You can kick me right now if you give me $1,000. But, you know, you believe, you want something, right? But anyway, send them all back home. So some people, listen to this, some people are not ready to pray, to receive. So that's why they have to do it again. And again, over the years, I see people asking the same prayer for 5 years. I go on a circuit over the north, travel all over the north, and I go do seminars, and I pray for the same person 9 months ago for the same thing. And I saw him at the same conference asking for the same thing of another pastor and evangelist come by. Then I go to another meeting, I see the same person, I'm in the same city, and they're asking God to whoever the preacher was for the same thing. Something's wrong. So, I'm telling you something here, guys, in this church, if you belong to this church, don't ask me to pray for you if you're not ready to start to endure. Amen. To pray and say, thank God I have it. If I ask you again, did you get it? Oh, thank God. Yes, I did. Pastor, I received by faith. Thank God. Amen. I'm receiving. I received. Now, if you're a baby Christian, it's understandable. I will know that for sure. But if you've been sitting under this ministry for at least 4 or 5 years, sitting in these chairs, and you come and tell me that again, we'll tell you something different. But if you're a genuine baby Christian, you come from a denominational church in the city, and you never heard this, yeah, we'll pray for you again. But some sooner or later, we'll tell you, listen, you know what, it's time that you grow up. You know, it's time to pull up your pants, dry away your tears, and start believing God. Yeah. Just like the rest of us. Yeah. So that's the way you have to do it. If you have to pray for the same thing again and again and again, you don't know what's, you don't understand the law of faith. It says in here, what don't you understand what Jesus said? Believe that you receive when you pray. Then it stops there and tells you, you shall have. The word shall is a future tense designation. That means you're going to get it, but maybe not on your time. Because your time and God's times are two different things. In this life, God has to work through the natural to get things to you, like money, like believing God for someone. You're believing God, you're standing in faith for somebody's life. You can believe it yourself, but that person, God has to work, take time for that person. How long did it take for you? It takes time to stand in faith for somebody, your wife, your husband, whatever. I didn't understand this before. I remember when I couldn't help my sister, my mother, when they were really sick. They didn't understand about the law of faith. I remember I just couldn't believe. I didn't know what to do. You know, the more word you have, the more grace you can participate in. It's easier. You can do this if you know God. Knowing God is knowing His word. They're inseparable. He says who He is by His scriptures. So we have to do something between that, and that is to endure and have the patience when we ask God for something. Then it's coming in. So we have to do something between there, and that is to learn to be patient. So what I'm saying is this. We, or people, sometimes quit when things don't change immediately. They give up in fear or in disappointment. So they wonder why didn't that work? And they're afraid, and they get into fear, and then they get into more disappointment. There's elapsed time, as I mentioned. You have to believe. Number one, you believe that you receive. Let believe right now, presently, even though you don't have it physically, you have to believe that you got it. And you don't get that until you meditate on the word and say, that's what belongs to me. You shall have them, future tense. So you must act like what the word says. You must tell your soul some things. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. You have to say, oh, I'm taking my soul. He's going to take down, have a walk here, and we're going to fellowship on this here about what the scripture says. I remember listening to some men of God that said, you know, I believe God for certain things. Sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning, I make myself get up. I'm having trouble in my mind. I get myself up. And I take the Bible, look at the Bible again, read it to myself. I said, this is what the word of God says. This is what I have. And by faith, let's lift your hands and say, God, thank you. Thank you for this promise. I want to tell the devils that are listening to me right now, I want to let you know that I believe God. And I'm not giving up. I'm standing on the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to fight back. Don't let them get a hold of you and discourage you. So we shall have what we can't give up. Due season is coming. The time is coming. God promises, Hebrews 10:23. The Bible says, cast not therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. So after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, notice it says, cast not away our confidence. Over here, Hebrews 10:23. Cast not away your confidence. You know what the word confidence is? Another word for faith. The word confidence, you cannot be confident about faith, because the Bible uses that word interchangeably sometimes about faith. Cast not away your confidence, or cast not away your faith. You need patience with your faith. Standing on the word. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Cast not away your faith. I think the New Living says that faith is a confidence. That we have those things what God says we have. So we have to have confidence. The only way to have that confidence is to know the word. Don't be giving up halfway. Don't be quitting. When it's time to continue to go, it's almost time to quit here. Second Peter talks about our faith, that we have to add patience to our faith. Second Peter. Add patience. Because the enemy, he's going to do everything he can to pressure you in your mind. Remember the 4 kinds of souls, soils Jesus talked about in the Bible, about the sower sows the word. In Mark chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says that the cares of this world, the worries and the burdens, the devil will bring that thought to your mind, so that you can quit. He says, those people, the cares of this world become so heavy, so hard on someone's mind, they quit. And that's what the devil wants you to do, is put so much pressure on your mind that you're going to quit. That's what James says, James chapter 1 and verse 2. Count it all joy, my brother, when you fall into diverse temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience. So there is that challenge the devil will throw at you. No matter what you believe, like, you know, I don't know about you, but when you walk with God for sometimes, just sometimes you think, oh, man, I'm just doing so good. All my needs are met. I'm so happy. Everything's good. Oh, man, thank God. Money's coming in for Spirit Alive. The church is going good. It's growing. We got money in there. You know, my car is working real good. All of a sudden, you get symptoms in your body. All of a sudden, the kids are getting sick. Everything. You know, it lasts a little while. All kinds of stuff has happened to me. I started having some prostate difficulties. What's that? I don't know. I mean, I had to go to the hospital a couple of times. And, you know, you have problems with going to the bathroom. That's an old man problem, they told me. I didn't realize it's that old. But I had to go to and had to go through all these tests for a long time. Go to MRI, whatever these tests they give you. They look inside you, give you water, make you blow up, and go in the bathroom. I was in another hospital for two months now, maybe 3 months now. Different things going on. I had to go back to the hospital. The doctor found a tumor in my arm and said, okay, then we got to check this out. So took it out, went back again, had to go back the second time. Then he says, we have to look at that again. So, I mean, all kinds of problems. I mean, the devil will give you all kinds of visions. Then I had trouble with my veins in my legs. Had to go to the hospital to look at that. Then I was sitting in the psychiatrist's chair. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you thing after thing, right? I never had so much financial pressure in the last little while than in all my life personally. Where's all my money going? You know, so just different things happening in ministry, different things like that. You know, just when you think everything's going good, right? And you have personal family issues. You got to keep strong. Yes. I'm strong in the Lord.
Yes,
you are. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How about you? I was reading yesterday, Kenneth Copeland, 50-some years in ministry and 80 years old. Praise God. Amen. If he's doing it, I'm doing it. Amen. How about you?
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting stronger. You know, I was reading last night in bed, the other night, I was reading about Caleb. Caleb says to Joshua and the gang, he said, listen, I was 45 years old when God called me to go out there and spy the land. But I went out and gave a good report. The rest of the guys came back and gave a gloomy report and scared everybody, discouraged everybody. They wanted to quit, but I had a good report. And they promised, Moses promised me to have that piece of land I want up there. No, I'm 85 years old. I'm just as strong as I was when I was 45 years old. I'm ready to still fight. I'm ready still to do good things for God. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. We can still be strong. We can still be strong. Like I told you, I'm going into a bodybuilding contest. Amen. 70 years old, man. Caleb anointing. Amen. Strong. That's why he calls himself Caleb Strong. Strong man. Glory to God. We can't give up, guys. The heat might be on, but you're going to stand strong. How many of you are going to stand strong? Glory to God. Lift up your head and say, thank God. Go ahead and praise Him where you are right now. Go ahead and thank Him. Hallelujah. I'm standing strong. Oh, God, I want to thank You. I'm not giving up. Oh, like a dog with a bone, I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to keep this. I'm not going to lose sight of it. The promises of God are mine. I have it now. I'm praising You. I received it when I prayed it. I'm going to thank You till I see it through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The money is coming in. My body's being healed right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The money is coming in. The answer is coming in. The money is coming in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it to the other side. Let's go to the other side of the lake. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ushers, just go ahead and pass this out. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. You know, you have to remember the, thank you. You know, the children of Israel had all the promises, right? But they still had to fight giants. God promised us He's going to be there with us, for us to fight every giant. Is all the music team here? We need the music team if you want to come up. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says that in the night that Jesus died, He took the cup and gave God thanks. He took bread and He took wine. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant in my name. Do this as often as you can in remembrance of me." This is a time where we come to God and begin to pray the prayer of submission and dedication to God again. Submitting our minds, our bodies, our will to God. If you've never done that, those of you that are watching on live stream, this is a time to come to God. Come to the Lord. To say, "Lord, I need to come to you this morning. I've been away. Maybe perhaps you've never been born again, but if you come to God today, He'll receive you just like that. Received by faith. Right where you are. If you're watching in a hospital, maybe you're watching an institution somewhere, God's going to be there. He said, "I'll never leave. I'll never leave you, forsake you." So if you come to Him this morning, say, "Jesus, I offer my life to you. Come save me. I need a Savior. I want to get born again." He'll forgive you your sin. Come live in your life. Come into your heart. You'll get to know God. Let's go ahead and take the wafer. Jesus said, "This is my body." Let a man examine himself. If he's got something in his heart that he needs God to forgive him for, or he needs to forgive somebody, this is the time that you forgive someone else. If someone has done anything wrong in your life that's offended you, that hurt you, now is the time to let it go. The Bible says to forgive. To forgive means to let it go. Everybody say, "Let it go." So that's what the Bible says. When we let it go, God will let go what He's got in His hand for you. So this body was broken to heal your body as a sign. He bled for you. In every part of His body, to answer every illness that you have, emotionally, mentally, He took the crown on His head for your peace of mind. Let's go ahead and take it. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's a blood covenant. Whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to you and me. He got it for us. So let's go ahead and take it. Just go ahead and talk to the Lord in prayer. Pray to God. Tell Him you love Him. Maybe it's a good time to pray for your family, your friends. Lord, I want to thank you that we're covenant partners. Go ahead and pray, everyone. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness, for the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for answering my prayers. Thank you for helping me. I will endure to the other side. I will endure to the end. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Shokoroma samba bakasasa sa bakaraba sutu kuramana reki.